The time is now. You are now tuned into one of the fastest growing parapolitical podcasts out in the land of podcasts. Yes, you are now tuned into the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. As always, wearing the tinfoil hat, my name is Tom Velasquez. You may notice my voice is a little hoarse. I'm dealing with the crud. I'm not sure how long this show is going to last today. I'm hoping as I talk, my voice becomes more and more like itself, or the opposite could happen. As I talk, I could start losing my voice more and more. So my goal is to just do a regular show, but if it's cut short, that's the reason why. So please bear with me, but thank you for joining me this week. This week's show, we're going to, well, the last 2 weeks, I really haven't had my normal style of show. It's been the interviews. I've had interviews with Kevin Killen and with Matthew and Seneca Diamond, and you guys obviously love the shows. The numbers on the shows were great. I received so much feedback from a lot of my listeners saying, love the way you're moving the show, getting more information, getting more info. And that's pretty much what I wanted to do. You know, for every year I've been doing this, I've basically just been sitting behind this microphone for about an hour just talking. And, you know, it's done well. But I wanted to add a little more to the show, and that's where it came. And that's where Kevin and Matt and Seneca came in. And they did a great job. It was a wonderful, both of those shows were wonderfully received, and I can't wait to talk to them again. Now, this week's show, I don't have any interviews scheduled. I don't have anything planned. What I wanted to do, and that was by design, what I wanted to do is there's been a lot of stuff going on. And I want to just devote a show to kind of catch up and check in, let you know my thoughts on, of course, the impeachment, of course, the State of the Union, the coronavirus, and anything happening paranormal or supernatural-wise. So this is going to be like one of my potpourri shows, because I'm really going to be talking about a lot of things in quick fashion where I talk about that, we're done, we move on to the next subject. So there's going to be things on this show that everybody who listens to this show, whether you listen to it for the politics, for the conspiracies, for the paranormal or supernatural, there's something here that everybody's going to love. So I hope you enjoy the show this week. Again, I want to thank Kevin Killen. I want to thank Matthew and Seneca Diamond for taking the time out to be on the show. And let's keep this up. If you would like to be part of this show, if you have a book, if you have anything, it doesn't have to be a book. If you have any topics you would like to talk about, if you are an investigator, a field researcher, an author, you have your own group, you have your own Facebook page, anything you want to talk about where you think the listeners of this show will benefit by having you on the show, just contact me. That's how Kevin got a hold of me, and it worked out well. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, that email address to contact me is ghostseeker4@charter.net. I can also be reached on my Facebook page, The Paranormal Patriot. If you haven't been to the page, go to the page. I'm doing my best to try and add some good articles, videos that you, my listeners, when you go to that page, it gives you a reason to. I don't have a lot of time to go on social media, so I got to make the time, and that's hard. But I'm starting to find more and more time to do things where I can actually post videos, articles, anything. And you guys are more than welcome to always post on that page, too. I've opened it up to where anybody can post. And if you've got something you think the world needs to see, go to the Facebook page. But make sure you like it if you haven't liked the Paranormal Patriot Facebook page. So again, come on the show. We have a great time. Everybody seems to really enjoy listening to another person's perspective. So let's bring it on. You contact me, we will talk, and your vision, your words will be heard by the thousands and thousands of people that tune into this show every week. It's easy to do. Just contact me again via Facebook at The Paranormal Patriot or at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Listen, if you have a paranormal interest, if you have a paranormal story, if you have a view on politics that you really want our listeners to hear, if you have a conspiracy that you think needs to get some more attention, contact me. I'll put you on the show, and you will get a chance to have your voice heard. But you got to contact me. So, with that being said, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to catch up on some things that we missed over the last 2 weeks. It'll have politics, it'll have conspiracies, it'll have paranormal. It will have something for everybody that listens to this show. So continue to keep listening. We're going to take a quick break. I'll be right back. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. Sit back, relax, and open that mind. We'll be right back. August 27th through the 29th, 2020, the Upper Peninsula Paranormal Research Society, the Sioux Events Incorporated, and Kewadin Casino are very proud to present the largest paranormal gathering of its kind in the Midwest. The 11th annual Michigan Paranormal Convention will yet again bring the biggest names of the paranormal industry to Michigan's oldest city, Sault Ste. Marie. The convention is held at the Kewadin Casino's Dreammakers Theater. Experts and television stars will be on hand to cover such topics as paranormal investigating, psychic abilities, demonology, and ufology. Convention goers will be able to meet some of their favorite television paranormal investigators. So join them for 2.5 days as the biggest names in the industry speak on today's hottest topic, the paranormal. Again, August 27th through 29th, 2020, at the Kewadin Casinos, the 11th Annual Michigan Paranormal Convention. The excitement is building. Plans are already underway. Mark your calendars, Friday, September 11th, and Saturday, September 12th, at the Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. Be prepared for the third Mid-Michigan UFO contact. The first two Michigan UFO contacts brought huge crowds, great vendors, and amazing presenters. This year promises to do the same and more. So again, mark your calendars. Friday, September 11th and Saturday, September 12th at the Lakeside Resort and Conference Center for Michigan UFO Contact 3. Be a witness to one of Michigan's premier paranormal conventions. Friday, September 11th and Saturday, September 12th, 2020 at the Lakeside Resort and Conference Center, the Michigan UFO Contact.
I kind of fly away, take the pain away from the rubble that is here. All of the time that I have had, I always assumed it all be clear. Instead I'm here, wrapped in chains. I'm looking to break out, but I fear I'm not doing what they say is right. How have I not seen these tears? 'Cause I've been thinking.
Alrighty, so the past 2 weeks we really haven't had to talk, I should say haven't had a chance to talk about anything in the world of politics or the paranormal other than Kevin Killen and his experiences in his book and Matthew and Seneca Diamond and their views on the Second Amendment. So I wanted to do this show and just recap what has been going on for over the last 2 weeks and kind of get my perspective on it. So what I wanted to start off, and this is one that hits home with me. As you know, I live in Michigan, and we have a very, very liberal governor by the name of Gretchen Whitmer. She's the one that gave the Democratic response to the State of the Union address. Well, here is, now when she was elected, I told everybody, not on the show per se, I kind of did on the show, but I told everybody I know, you know, watch out, because this lady is just going to railroad and ram things down our throats, and it's going to cost us a bunch of money. And my Democratic friends are like, oh, God, no, after Slick Rick, Rick Snyder, our former governor, anything's got to be better than him. Well, her platform for getting elected was fix the damn roads. Here in Michigan, we have horrific roads. I mean, they are they're terrible. And it's a big concern for us because there's a lot of money that goes into fixing our vehicles because of our roads. Well, she ran on that, which was a smart move because everybody is concerned about the roads. Why are the roads so crappy? Well, she got elected on it, and she proposed a 45-cent gas tax that the Republicans in the state said absolutely not. And in the House, the Republicans just, they dominate in the state. So her 45-cent gas tax literally went nowhere quickly. But voters, Republican and Democrat, said absolutely not. We're not getting charged another 45 cents for gas because we recently were just increased on our gas tax by 17 cents. So the question is, where did that money go? We are already, in all fairness, that 17 cent gas tax hike was ran through without the voters' approval. The voters voted no on a gas tax. And the Republicans, I'm going to play both sides of the fence here, the Republicans in the state of Michigan said, nope, we're giving it to you anyway. So what was the point of a vote? But it went through. Okay, we got used to it. However, where'd the money go? That's the question that's going around. Now, Gretchen Whitmer wants to add another 45 cents to our already outrageous gas tax. And the voters said no. The House said no. And she is fuming. So, and this is in Michigan. But trust me, this happens in every state, every country where I have listeners. So if you're listening to this, trust me, this is happening to you. So I read an article, and it infuriated me, and I'll read you the article real quick. It said, Michigan lawmakers last year rejected Governor Gretchen Whitmer's plan to make the state's gas tax burden the highest in the nation, which was an additional 45 cents. So what did the governor do? She is now pursuing a new strategy, ignoring lawmaker and voter approval altogether in order to spend money on her preferred initiatives. In her State of the State address January 29th, Whitmer announced that she would borrow $3.5 billion to fund spending on roads and bridges. This new debt, which the taxpayers of Michigan will be paying down for the next 25 years, was approved by an unelected state commission less than 24 hours after Whitmer's speech. Now, in her words, Gretchen Whitmer says, I'm not going to wait anymore. I'm going to move forward unilaterally and get to work moving some dirt. She told this to the Associated Press ahead of her address. She said dollars that are bonded will be going towards rebuilding long-term assets. So it's not for short fixes. This is for reconstruction. So what does this mean? To my listeners in the great state of Michigan, and trust me, if you're not from Michigan, this is going on with you, but let's just center on Michigan here. Each taxpayer in Michigan, they already shoulder $17,000 in state debt that they'll ultimately need to pay off through higher taxes. Now, that is according to fiscal watchdog Truth in Accounting. That is the second highest burden in the Midwest behind only Illinois. Just south of us in Ohio, they have half the debt burden that we in Michigan have. Now, Michigan's roads need to be fixed. I don't argue that with her at all. However, to take $3.5 billion out of a fund and charge it to the taxpayers of this state when those taxpayers have already said, no, we do not want this 45-cent gas tax. We already just got charged a 17% gas tax. You tell us where that money went, and then maybe we'll talk. This lottery system is supposed to be going to education and the roads. Where is it going? You tell us and we'll talk. But nobody is giving up information. Nobody will tell us where that money is gone. So, again, without voter approval, without any oversight, an unelected state commission board said, yeah, take the money, charge it to these people. This is what infuriates me about politics. And she is right when she says that the people of Michigan elected me to fix the road, so that I'm going to do. You're right. But they didn't. They told you, you're not going to do it on our dime that we've already paid for. The people that elected her are stunned. And I keep telling my Democrat listeners, my Democratic friends in Michigan and anywhere, when you elect a Democrat, this is what you get. We need your money. You owe us your money because we allow you to go to work on these roads. Okay, we gave you the money. Where did it go? There's a very, very disturbing trend, and I know it's probably been happening since the beginning of government, but, you know, we here in the United States, we're a representative republic. When we elect these people, they represent us. They don't represent their values. They don't represent their desires. They are put into office to represent us, to speak for us. And there's so many instances where these representatives are saying, they elected me on what I told them, so therefore, I'm just going to go with that, without going out into the public and getting their response. You know, they'll have these town halls and these people will boo them down. Alyssa Slotkin, Gary Peters, they had town halls right before this impeachment trial ended, stating, hey, we're going to have a town hall and we're going to talk about it. They were booed off the stage, essentially, because they voted to impeach Trump and their constituents did not want them to vote to impeach Trump. You representing us. You are our voice. You're supposed to be our voice. You're going along party lines. That may not be what your constituents want. So that's my beef. That my biggest beef this week is, I mean, $3.5 billion on top of what I already owe the state of Michigan for something I voted no for. I'm not going to pay it. The majority of the people said we're not paying it. And it just goes through. Why even have a vote? Why even have a voting system? If you can just say, well, we didn't like that answer, we're going to do it ourselves. We're just going to go ahead and do it. And here's the bill. And speaking of bills, let's talk this impeachment fiasco. It's done. It's finally done. Is anybody shocked that Trump was acquitted? I don't think so. Now, let's be honest with ourselves. Democrats, Republicans, if you watched this House portion, the very first portion of the impeachment process, you saw witness after witness after witness come up and say they felt that this was a horrible thing that Donald Trump did. And the Democrats would spin that around to make it sound like, yes, this was a quid pro quo. And there were times that the witnesses said, yeah, I think it was a quid pro quo. And then the Republicans would come out and they would counter-examine them. And then the stories changed. Well, I can't really say I heard it personally. You know, my assistant heard it from somebody else. And they ran with that. And they got abuse of power and obstruction of Congress, which, first off, are not impeachable offenses. But secondly, they didn't prove it. So, of course, it passed the House along party lines, and Trump was impeached in the House. So the Democrats, and this is where I want my Democratic listeners to really open your minds, because this is what it boils down to. They rammed it through the House just so they can get it to the Senate before Christmas. Why, I don't know. I'm assuming it has something to do with the election. But it goes to the Senate. And the Senate is Republican run. I mean, the Republicans are in charge in the Senate. And the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, Jerry Nadler, and their legal team, which, first off, that whole signing it with individual pens and then walking it in, it's just showmanship, and it got a lot of press, it got a lot of TV coverage, but literally, come on, guys. But they go in there, and they have the audacity to want to change the rules. Well, we have to have these witnesses. No, you have to have these witnesses. We demand these witnesses. First off, why do you need more witnesses? The trial was in the House. The Senate basically votes to see, okay, yeah, is this a impeachable offense? You've had your trial. You did not convince the American people. You made the American people say, oh my gosh, come on, knock it off. So you come to the Senate with a horrible case that can't hold any water. You know you passed it just because the Democrats controlled it. You know that's the case. You know that every witness that you had come up was completely contradicted when the Republicans were cross-examining them. Everything that the Democrats said that was happening was completely contradicted, but yet you still sent it through to the Senate. And you know at that point, Democrats, that I don't have a case. I don't have a case. We got to bring in more witnesses. You had your chance. You had your chance. So, again, is anybody surprised that Trump was acquitted? No. Listen, if he did something wrong, if it was a quid pro quo, I guess, yeah, I'd be a little bit concerned. But A, it wasn't a quid pro quo. And B, what about Biden? You know, they've got him on tape. I played the tape for you, where he's basically saying exactly what they're accusing Donald Trump of doing is getting rid of this guy, and then we'll give you the money. What about the Iran nuclear deal? That sounds like a quid pro quo. That had nothing. I mean, nobody knew about that. That was done in the secrecy of the night, and they praised it. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, who gave the authority of this? It was a quid pro quo. Everything the Democrats are accusing Trump of doing, you're going to see it's coming out that they're the ones doing it. So, understandably, the Democrats are going to try and spin this to make it look like Donald Trump and the Republicans are horrible. I want to play for you, it's a minute 30. It's a minute 30 audio of Chuck Schumer voicing his displeasure. And listen to the names that he calls President Trump, because that's going to lead us into our next issue that we're going to talk about that we haven't talked about over the last 2 weeks. So listen to this. This is Chuck Schumer voicing his displeasure after the acquittal of Donald Trump.
Great faith in Nancy Pelosi and the job that the House Democrats did in the House. I have great faith in the House managers and the job they did. When we look back, I think the thing that we are most gratified about is we knew this was an uphill fight. We knew you need two-thirds to convict. We know that the president is a vindictive, nasty president who goes after anyone who opposes him. And we know that Republicans, even those who might know better, want to go in line with him. The fact that 4 weeks ago, after Mitch McConnell said on Sean Hannity, he's doing just what the president wants, and we have no chance for any kind of negotiation, I wrote a letter to all my colleagues, but sent to Mitch, saying we want these four witnesses and these four documents. And because of the amazing strength and unity of these people in my caucus, that is ringing, let fairness ring. From one coast to the other, all across America, Americans know that Democrats are for a fair trial and witnesses and documents are needed. And they know that Republicans are opposing even that. So we're very gratified about how this has moved forward. It's, you know, we're not in the majority. We have a president who strikes fear in the hearts of Republicans. And yet here we are. And we feel that we have done a very good job. Very good job.
So he calls him he calls him a vindictive, nasty president. Yeah, well, do you blame him? You guys have literally run his name through the mud. You created a fake dossier to try and get him into a Russian collaboration hoax. And when that didn't work, you made up stories. Remember Adam Schiff, quote-unquote, ad-libbing President Trump's phone conversation. making it sound like he said these horrific things. You read the transcript, it was never said. It amazes me why he was not censored. He was not forced to resign. He blatantly lied about it. And we let him go. Because we were too complacent. We really didn't care. He didn't really hurt my feelings, so I'm not going to worry about it. Well, I think you're seeing a move in the demeanor of the conservatives and the Republicans in this country where they've had enough. And Chuck Schumer has the gall to say that the American people are behind this impeachment. They're behind a fair trial. He couldn't be more far from the truth. People didn't care about this impeachment because most people, Republican and Democrat, all knew that this was a sham. There was no substance to this. They grew bored of it. Everybody knew he was going to be acquitted. To have Chuck Schumer get up there and say, the American people were denied the truth. The American people wanted a fair trial. Everybody wants to see a fair trial. The problem is it should have happened in the House and it didn't. And let's be honest, Mr. Schumer, it should have never left the House. He should have been acquitted in the House because your proof, quote unquote, wasn't there. But let's talk about what has happened since this acquittal. Trump went on and did his victory lap, blah, blah, blah. You know, he said things that I don't, you know, I didn't elect Trump because of his expertise and vocabulary. I elected him to do exactly what he's doing. Do I mind he did a victory lap? No, but he could have kind of toned it down in his verbiage and in his language towards the Democrats. I guess maybe show, you know, I don't know. That's a tough one for me because they absolutely dragged him through the mud. So maybe he should have a victory lap where he can say exactly how he feels about his accusers. And you know what? They did it to themselves. But since the acquittal, a couple of things have happened. We all remember Lieutenant Colonel Vindman. You remember him, the Lieutenant Colonel who, when he would go to his job, would never, ever wear his military uniform, but absolutely had to wear it during his testimony at the House impeachment trial. And then, when he wasn't addressed as Lieutenant Colonel, had to stop, I believe it was Jim Jordan, and call him out for it. The guy's a prick. I'm sorry. He's a pompous ass, typical of what you would expect in Washington. Well, him and also his twin brother who works in the Department of Justice, they were both fired recently. I don't have a problem with that. Everyone in America knew that Lieutenant Colonel Vindman lied through his teeth while giving his testimony. So for him to be fired, the twin brother he has is known friends and acquaintances with the whistleblower, Eric Ciaramella. He got fired. They had it coming. They had it coming. Both of them did. Maybe Lieutenant Colonel Vindman can wear his military uniform to his next job application or job interview. But then remember Sondland, the bald-headed guy during the House testimony, who swore up and down that, yes, this was a clear-cut case of quid pro quo, until the Republicans started cross-examining him. And then come to find out, he actually had a conversation with Trump that Trump said, there's no quid pro quo, just get it done. Which meant, get the aid to them. There's no quid pro quo. But that wasn't in the Democrats' testimony, and it wasn't in their talking points. But when pressured, Sondland, well, give him credit, he came forth and was truthful. But it destroyed the Democratic narrative. But yet he still got impeached. And that was the same with every single witness that these Democrats were throwing up there that were these earth-shattering witnesses. It was mind-blowing what these witnesses were going to say. And every one of them just fell out of the sky in flames. So we have the Vindman brothers fired. Sondland has been fired. There was a 45-minute Twitter outage, which nobody can account for, but the Department of Justice signifies that Cheese Pizza is code for child porn. Now, what does that mean? And I'll be the first to say, when I first heard of this Pizzagate thing, I laughed. I said, whatever, come on, guys, that's way too far down the rabbit hole. John Podesta, Bill Clinton, Eric Holder, numerous other Republican and Democrat politicians have been using this term, cheese pizza, in emails. And now the Department of Justice has just come out that they're basically affirming that the term cheese pizza is code for child porn. That's scary. And then last but not least, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo drops the bomb warning governors that their Chinese infiltration is now exposed. Ladies and gentlemen, this is draining the swamp. I keep, you know that I actually did a show about QAnon. I have many, many listeners that follow QAnon. Connie is one of my most ardent fans, and I mean, where I get a lot of my information from. And as I said before, I get a little bit frustrated because I'm like, oh my gosh, if you have all this dirt on these people, get rid of them. But they keep reassuring me that this is all set by time. You have to get the acquittal done. And now, once he's been acquitted, things are going to start happening. There are now people that are tracking flights in and out of Gitmo, because there are rumors out there that they are going to start arresting politicians, high-ranking officials, and celebrities for child trafficking, child porn, child abuse, and things we can't even begin to fathom. I'm not going to say I'm 150% believing that this will happen, but if my QAnon followers and Connie have taught me anything, is that there is a plan, and it has to be followed to the letter. And now that Trump has been acquitted, the gloves can come off. So I am curious to see what happens. I mean, you're seeing in the, well, maybe not in the news, but my QAnon followers, and especially Connie, are always sharing stories about these high-ranking presidents of companies, priests, you name it, that are getting busted for child abuse, basically sexual encounters with children, and having tons and tons and tons of child pornography on their computers. But you don't hear about that on the mainstream media because they don't want it to be known. But I don't think there's going to, I mean, if Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama or Bill Clinton gets arrested, yeah, you're not going to avoid that news cycle. So I think there's more coming. But on top of that, Donald Trump, the day after he was acquitted, gave his State of the Union address. And as I mentioned before, our illustrious Governor Gretchen Whitmer gave the Democrat response to the State of the Union. Now, during this State of the Union, and let's be honest, there is a lot to be optimistic for in this country. Unemployment is at record lows. Black, Hispanic, minority unemployment is never been lower. The economy's booming, the stock market is booming. But the best part of the State of the Union was in the beginning, when Donald Trump came up and shook Mike Pence's hand and Nancy Pelosi reached out her hand and Trump said no, pretty much. He just ignored her and turned around and started his speech. And at the end of that, Nancy Pelosi decided to tear up the State of the Union address that she had. And apparently that is a constitutional violation. There is an ethics violation that has been forwarded against Nancy Pelosi for tearing that up, because that's apparently a historic legal document. I didn't know that, but you know what? Nancy Pelosi tearing that up speaks volumes about why the Democrats are who they are and why they act like they do. The leader, essentially, of the Democratic Party, Nancy Pelosi, on national TV, millions and millions of an audience, is a child. She didn't get what she wants. She doesn't like Donald Trump. And she tears up the copy of the State of the Union address that she has. And all it was effect. all it was effect. But you know what? The media are not going to focus on that. What do you think they're going to focus on? Well, Trump couldn't even shake her hand. And again, why should he? After everything that she has done to him, he has no obligation to do that. This is the woman that just tried to impeach him, to get rid of him from doing his job. Why are the Democrats? You had the Democrats in white. AOC, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, just to name a few, all dressed in white. And I was struck by when Donald Trump was touting how well the black community is doing. They refused to stand up. They refused to stand up and honor a Tuskegee Airman. They refused to honor everybody that Trump brought there. And why is that? Because it's all politics. It's all politics. These people, when we realize that it doesn't matter who we vote for, because they may have the best intentions on the campaign trail, but when they get to Washington, they're shown piles of cash. Hey, if you back this here, we'll give you this money. And it doesn't matter if your constituents back it or not, because money talks. And that's what it is. If you cannot celebrate the black population and their rise out of poverty, what are you doing in office? Honestly, all you're doing is perpetuating hate, which is everything you say Donald Trump is. You are. You are perpetuating hate. You are perpetuating racism. You are perpetuating violence. And it's got to stop. But Gretchen Whitmer, of course, came on after the State of the Union address. And listen, the reason that Gretchen Whitmer came on, everybody, all my Democratic friends are saying, look it, the Democrats are grooming her to be the next president. The first woman president's going to be from Michigan. No, it's not. Gretchen Whitmer, there is no way she is going to be president. The only reason they had Gretchen Whitmer deliver the Democratic response to the State of the Union is because they desperately need the Michigan electoral votes. That's the only reason. And that is the only reason why the Democratic National Convention is in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. They're trying to garner votes. They're trying to say, get Gretchen Whitmer on. Let's get those Democrats in Michigan to vote against Donald Trump. Let's have the Democratic convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, so we can get those Democrats in Wisconsin to vote against Trump. It's all a game. It's a game. But let's move on. Iowa had its primary. What a nightmare. What a nightmare. If you are a Democrat, if you're a Bernie supporter, you should be infuriated. And I'm going to be honest with you, every one of my listeners, Bernie Sanders scares me because I think he can beat Trump. I really do. There are so many disillusioned young men and women out there that will go to the polls like never before to feel the burn. Trust me, I get them all the time on my email, in my email inbox. I see them on Facebook all the time. I think he's a legitimate threat to Donald Trump. Pete Buttigieg, I don't think is a threat. I think Trump will eat him up and spit him out. And this has nothing to do with his sexual orientation, but I don't think people are ready for that. I really don't. I think the conservative Christian population in this country, which is very quiet, if Pete Buttigieg comes out and wins the nomination, first off, as Bernie supporters said, cities will burn. But I don't think that's a good thing for the Democrats either. They want Joe Biden, and Joe Biden is failing. He is failing miserably. But if this Iowa primary doesn't prove to you that the Democrats can't run a fair election, I don't know what does. Because they are talking about re-canvassing, just basically doing the whole thing over again. And the Democrats are like, nope. Bernie is getting screwed yet again by the Democratic Party. And you know what? If he loses it, he'll just do what he did last time, fall in line with the Democratic Party and endorse Hillary Clinton. He should have fought that tooth and nail. And listen, if he would have and he would have become the nominee, I think we would have had President Bernie Sanders. I really, truly do. But thank you, Democrat National Party, for fighting this man with everything you can and rigging every election against him. It'll be interesting to see how this turns out. And lastly, on the side of politics before the break, is anybody really concerned, which they really should be, about the fact that Mike Bloomberg is essentially buying his election? I mean, he is spending so much money, which is exactly what the Democrats are against. This man is spending tons and tons of money on his election campaign and just inundating the airways. And he's trying to buy your vote, and nobody seems to really care. And it really bothers me, because it shouldn't be about how much money you can raise. It should be your ideas, your morals, your values. And if you have the experience to run a business like the United States of America is, and his stance on gun control should honestly put him out of the race right now, but he's spending so much money, he's hanging in there. And it scares the living daylights out of me, because that just tells you that people like John James in Michigan. John James ran against Debbie Stabenow in Michigan in 2016. And he lost, narrowly lost. And Debbie Stabenow's been there since, I think she ran against Moses at one time. She's been there a while. Well, now he's back at it, and John James is running against Gary Peters. Gary Peters that just voted to impeach Donald Trump in the Senate, because that's what he felt was right, in his words. It didn't matter that the majority of his constituents did not want him to vote that way. So he's already on shaky ground. But John James, when you look at it, politics right now is a rich man's game. But Donald Trump changed it a little bit. Yes, Donald Trump is loaded, I get that, but he's not a politician. And John James is not a politician. John James is a military man who is for the Constitution, and he is for the people. And what worries me is people like Mike Bloomberg that are spending billions of dollars on his election. I'm worried that that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a political system for the rich, where people like you and I have no business and will never, ever be able to get into politics because it's going to become too expensive. That should scare everybody listening to this show, because it's you and I that have the best ideas. It is you and I that have been at ground zero. We've been on the pavement. We know what it's like. Michael Bloomberg, he has no clue what it's like to live a day-by-day life in America, where you get up, you go to work, and you worry about your family, you worry about paying your bills. He has no idea. And until we get a political system where people like us get a chance, it's never going to work. And listen, all you Bernie supporters, I don't want to hear it. I know what you're saying. Oh, that Bernie's that guy. Bernie is not that guy. Bernie is loaded. And he built that income of his on the backs of you and I. And he's going to do it tenfold if he gets into the White House. So last thought on this political catch-up session. Mike Bloomberg scares me. Not because I think he can win the Democratic primary. I don't think so. I think his views are too radical. As if Bernie Sanders are not, though. So it really scares me. It sets a dangerous precedent that only the multi-rich are going to be in any sort of position of power in this country. And I don't think that's how our forefathers envisioned it. And I guarantee you, there is no way that would work in this country, because they have no idea what it's like to live day by day in America. So we're going to take a quick break. And when I come back, we're going to talk a couple paranormal, real quick paranormal recaps. I had a video sent to me that I will play the audio for you just this past week of another strange sound in the sky that you really need to hear, because you might have heard it before, but it's not the same location, not the same time. So you're going to want to hear that, and I want to talk to you real quick about the subject of UFOs and what's going on there. So Sit back, relax, open your mind. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will be right back.
But you already know what it is. Why you tripping, flipping out like I'm a chauvinist pig? Hoping that this could turn to what was never meant to be. I've been honest from the jump. You were chasing misery, living a lie. Should have picked a different guy. Heart emojis turned to tears in a blink of an eye.
Ghosts and Me. A book about a journey of searching and trying to understand the paranormal. For more than 30 years, Kevin Killen has experienced some form of paranormal activity. His book, Ghosts and Me, explores many of those experiences. From the first time he experienced a ghost at the age of 5 to high school, through his adult years where he traveled from state to state and job to job and the paranormal activity followed him. Kevin Killen has won 5 Virginia Press Awards during his time in journalism, and he hopes this book can help others understand the paranormal and to give insight into what others are experiencing. Ghosts and Me can be found at Barnes & Noble, Target, Amazon, to name a few. Do yourself a favor, pick yourself up a copy of Ghosts and Me by Kevin Killen, and you will not be disappointed. Ghosts and Me by Kevin Killen. Paranormal Patriot approved. You know, it seems like every day our freedoms, our liberties, our Constitution is being attacked by the radical left of our government as well as the mainstream media. Most importantly, our Second Amendment right to bear arms against a tyrannical government is being assaulted on a daily basis. If the situation in Virginia hasn't opened your eyes, it needs to, because this situation is a desperate cry for the patriots of this country to stand up. And what I would like you to do, I would like you to join me on September 17th, 2020, at the State Capitol Building, 100 North Capitol Avenue in Lansing, Michigan, for the 2020 Second Amendment March. Join your fellow Second Amendment supporters in the 11th annual Second Amendment March. There will be featured speakers, legislators, the Ask an Attorney panel, a raffle, silent auction, music, and the ever-popular vendor tent. This event grows larger each year, and we would love to count on you among us. The event this year also happens to fall on Constitution Day. What better way to celebrate the right to keep and bear arms? September 17th, 2020, at the State Capitol Building in Lansing, Michigan, join your fellow patriots to support your right to the Second Amendment of the Constitution, because every day our Constitution and our rights are being trampled. It is up to us, and only us, to push back, and it starts with you. Join me at the 2020 Second Amendment March. Okay, I want to end this show this week with two items of paranormal news that I want to talk about. The first one is a listener-submitted encounter with a UFO. This comes from a listener in Michigan by the name of Lisa, who lives in Rose City, Michigan. Rose City is in the northern upper part of the Lower Peninsula of Michigan. And she says, Tom, I just listened to the 1994 UFO Wave show. Great show. Loved it. Thank you. I appreciate that, Lisa. But she says, I don't know if this had any coincidence to do with what I just saw, but this was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. She says, I live on a farm on the outskirts of Rose City, Michigan. I don't have many neighbors, and the ones that I do have are about a mile or two down the road. So we are very secluded. We own a lot of land. And because we have a farm, we don't have a lot of trees, and I can see for miles along the horizon. She says the night of February 7th was a normal night. We had just finished dinner. I cleaned up the dishes. My husband fell asleep on the recliner, and I went outside on the back porch to smoke a cigarette. As I was smoking the cigarette, I noticed out of the corner of my eye a weird light. It was red, then it was green, then it was yellow, then it was blue. It seemed like it was almost all the colors of the rainbow. It was seemed to be a ways out there. It was very small, but it appeared, as I was staring at it, to be growing in size. Now, I've seen strange lights. I see planes all the time because we have such an open view. But this one struck me as weird because it wasn't a multiple blinking light. It was one solid light that was changing colors. So it drew my attention. As I was sitting on the step of the back porch smoking my cigarette, I just was fixated by this. And it was growing in size. To me, that meant it was getting closer. I had this thing in view for at least 5 minutes, Tom. And I can tell you that there is nothing I have ever seen that can identify this. She went on to say that I watched it as it almost seemed like it was attractively drawn to me. It would make a slight turn towards me, almost as if it knew I was watching it and was coming towards me. It appeared to stop and hover, I would say maybe a half a mile from where I was sitting. And by that time, I guarantee you that this was not a helicopter, this was not a drone, nor was it an airplane. First off, airplanes cannot hover. But it sat there hovering. As its lights continued to blink different colors, I was fixated by this. By this time, my cigarette had gone out and I just threw the butt in the backyard. And I just sat there staring at it. I was thinking of calling my husband, but he wouldn't get up out of the recliner, so I just sat there hoping that something would happen. And something happened, Tom. The light in the sky grew very, very bright. And it started to flash these colors that it was flashing randomly. It started flashing them extremely quick, almost to the point that I couldn't differentiate when the colors were changing. It almost looked like one conglomeration of colors. And then, as it grew in brightness, it shot up into the sky to the point I couldn't follow it, and I have no idea where it went. It was that quick. I have seen strange things. I've lived in Rose City all my life. I have seen strange things many times in the sky, but each time I've been able to say it could have been this or it could have been that. This particular instance, Tom, I don't know what it was. If it was ours, in other words, came from this planet, we have technology that we can only begin to grasp. I personally don't think it was. I think I saw a UFO. And it was the most exciting and exhilarating experience I have ever had, and I cannot wait to see another one. You can be sure that I will be going out and sitting on that porch every night for the rest of my life in hopes and seeing another one. Tom, I thank you for your show. Your show is amazing. I love listening to it every week. Keep up the good work. Yours truly, Lisa. So, first off, thank you, Lisa. I appreciate you listening to the show, and I am enthralled about the fact that you love this show. Thank you so much. But secondly, what an amazing experience. I've seen multiple UFOs, and I'm going to tell you right now, I get what she's saying. She has that excitement. She has that adrenaline rushing through her where you want to see another one again. And I get that every time I see them. Most of us never look up into the sky long enough to see them. Me, I've been looking into the sky, into the stars, into the clouds since I was a kid. It's almost second nature to me now. That's why I think I see so many, because they're out there. It's just people are so oblivious. So thank you for the report, Lisa. I want to hear if you see another one. Now, before we end the show, I had a listener just yesterday send me a link that says, Tom, my friend heard this yesterday. I think I've heard this before on your show. Let me know what you think. Now, we have, or you guys know how much I am enthralled by these trumpet or these strange noises in the sky. Well, this one, when I heard it, is eerily reminiscent to multiple different noises in the sky. The difference is, this was recorded a few days ago. I want you to listen to this, and if you have to, go back and listen to the Trumpet Sounds in the Sky show and tell me if this sounds almost identical. Try and tell me what this thing is. So that goes on for literally 8 more minutes. And it sounds exactly like some of the sounds I have played for you before. And nobody can give me a good answer as to what it is. I've seen the videos. The videos are not the same video. They are definitely in two different places. What is it? Let me know what you think. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, that's ghostseeker4@charter.net. So, we're going to end the show this week. I appreciate you listening to the show as I do every week. I enjoyed doing the show. It was kind of a nice get back to normalcy. But really, if you want to be on the show, you have to contact me. And don't be afraid. We have fun. I make it easy for you. So again, thanks for tuning in this week. We will be back next week with an all-new episode of The Paranormal Patriot. Make sure you tell your friends, share the show, tell them to listen to all the shows. And again, if you really want to be on the show, you got to contact me, The Paranormal Patriot on Facebook or ghostseeker4@charter.net. My name is Tom Velasquez. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. I'll be back next week.